Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The New York Times paywall goes live today, making free news all the time, anytime, a thing of the past at the country's iconic newspaper of record. Every newspaper in the country is paying close attention, wondering if they too can finally get online readers of news to pay. Is that the future, or a desperate attempt to recreate the past? This hour On Point, paying for the news we read. You can join the conversation. Will paywalls work for newspapers? Are you ready to pay for the news you read, or is that so pre-digital? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Later this hour, we'll hear from David Carr, columnist for the New York Times, who defends the paywall, and from a publisher who says it's not the way to go, and from a Canadian who's already hacked a way around the paywall. Joining me first from Washington, D.C. is Ken Doctor, news industry analyst with Nieman Journalism Lab at Harvard University. He's author of Newsonomics, 12 New Trends That Will Shape the News You Get, and blogs on the news business at newsonomics.com. Ken Doctor, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Tom.
So what's the Times doing here, Ken?
Well, it is trying to get a do-over, essentially. It is trying, in its race against the clock, to find another substantial pipeline of revenue. And this is digital circulation. We all know circulation in print, as you noted in your introduction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's two legs of the newspaper industry for many, many decades, circulation and advertising. And then everybody moved to the web. We all thought for some reason it should be free, and while there's advertising money, and the Times in particular has built a good advertising business, there's simply not enough. So the Times itself still has 1,100 journalists. We're seeing, you know, we've seen 14,000 journalists cut across the U.S.
Wow.
Over the last 5 years, and all the papers are looking at this because when they look out to 2015 and 2016, they just see a business that continues to spiral down without more money.
I'm looking at an AP report from just a couple of days ago. Newspaper advertising in the U.S. sunk to a 25-year low. If you adjust it for inflation, newspaper advertising standing about where it did 50 years ago. That's a pretty mind-boggling number.
It is.
You say
it
a
is.
Do-over with the Times. They tried a version of this once before, Ken.
Right. They tried Times Select. That experiment ended about 3 years ago. And it was pilloried by about everyone, and it didn't bring in much money. What they did then was they walled off their columnists, which are, who, of course, are very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking a very different approach this time. It's called a metered approach in the industry. The Financial Times in London has pioneered it. And it basically says you get 20 articles a month. I've called this a pay fence rather than a pay wall because it's porous, and it's meant to be porous. And in fact, the big difference here is that they figure maybe 85% of all the people who come to the Times site every month will never run into a wall. So they're really targeting those of us who are heavy users of NewYorkTimes.com or on the tablet or on the smartphone and saying, you have a relationship with us, mm-hmm. you depend on us, we need you to pay. It's a 1% solution. Meaning that of all the 32 million people they have reading the website in the U.S. every month, if they get 1% to pay, this will be a success.
We'll look at what success really means, how much of the hole it would dig them out of. Let's look at the toll that they're planning to hit readers with if they go above that 20 articles a month. I'm looking here at their announcement from 10 days, 2 weeks ago, $15 every 4 weeks for full access to the Times website and a mobile phone app. That'd be about $195 a year.
Right.
Or $20, it's kind of complicated, but $20 for web access plus an iPad app, $260 a year to have the web and to read the Times on your iPad. Or if you want, you know, it's like one of these Ginzu knife things, but the web plus iPad plus your mobile phone app, $35 every 4 weeks, not month, but every 4 weeks, $455 a year. Now, look at that one, and a lot of people do browse across many different, you know, their web and their phone and their iPad. $455 a year for the Times Online. Are people going to pay that, Ken?
I don't think so. And I think it's funny because people do the math, and as you pointed out, it's not a month. It's every 4 weeks. So you got to multiply times 13. When you do it, one of the things that I pointed out is that if you get a Sunday subscription to the New York Times, which is, as we know, a huge product and can last you all week.
The paper product, as it stands today.
Yeah, the paper product, right? You can haul it around. It probably weighs 3 pounds. You can get that introductory offer for about $179 for a year.
And if you subscribe to that or anything, I mean, any combination of actual paper subscription, you get the online access as well.
That's right. Any subscription, any of their 8 subscriptions, you think this is complicated. Newspapers offer 8 different subscriptions. Any subscription gets you free digital access. So in part, this is a strategy to both grow the digital business, grow digital circulation, but also hold on to as much of the print circulation, even for another 3 to 5 years, because that's where 85% of the money is.
How important, you said right at the top that there's a race against the clock here. Now, if they're trying to hold on to paper, which can seem awfully old-fashioned these days, though a lot of people still get it, what's the race? What are they up against here? They and other newspapers around this country in terms of racing that clock, Ken?
Well, if you look at it in terms of advertising revenue, and in the U.S., still 65-70% of their money coming in every year is from advertising. They are down. It's not announced yet, but for the first quarter this year, they're all going to be down 8-10% again in ad revenue compared to the first quarter of last year.
And that's after year after year after year
after
now.
Year. It's 20 down. Months. 20 months for the industry since it's had a positive turn. And it's the only medium that depends on advertising that isn't recovering. Magazines have recovered. Broadcast has recovered from the recession. So the recession's over for everybody else, but the recession's not over for newspapers. And the numbers keep spiraling down. And I've seen presentations from a couple of companies that have managed to do the math, which is bleak. And it gets worse and worse. And consequently, we're seeing more cutting of news staff. Not at the Times, but across a number of newspapers, big daily newspapers this year. This continues.
Take us to the big picture here. I mean, we've most Americans, though almost a full generation now has not, but most Americans still grew up on newspapers with staffs of paid reporters who would bring in that news from in their local town or nationally, state, around the world. It's hard to support that when the advertising is going down and down and down here. Personally, I'm prepared to do something to support that, but an awful lot of news readers online today, Ken, simply are not. That doesn't seem to line up with their view of the way the world ought to work.
And that may be the case, and that's why this is a test. We're seeing this test at the Times. We're also seeing another two dozen tests other places, from Dallas to Boston and Memphis this year, Augusta, Peoria, Erie, all kinds of places. Even Hamburg and Berlin are doing similar tests. Tom, we're going to see, and we're going to see whether people are going to pay. And it's interesting how we ask the question. Because, I mean, when we go back to that print world and we think about it, we have two major quality newspapers, national papers, the Times and the Journal. 1 to 2 million circulation, USA Today, another, in that same camp. So 1 to 2 million circulation in a population of 300 million plus in the U.S., they were successful. They were making money. They were stable. We didn't worry about them.
Sure.
Now the Times, for instance, has 32 million people reading its website. But it's not successful financially. It's struggling. It's losing advertising. It's got a 4% profit margin. So I think
and
it's how
we look
at it.
And that's down from days, I don't know what it was in the past, but it must have been up by 20%. I mean, some papers used to get 30% margins.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, a lot of the papers, the top performing papers were 35% plus. They were
deep
the envy
gravy.
Of every other industry.
Mm-hmm. That's all gone.
It's all gone. But if you look at it now and you say, okay, that's why they're not going after the mass. They're not trying to convert everybody to say, I get it. You got to pay up. If they could get 1% of that $32 million, that's about $70 million a year. They get 2%, $140 million. That's serious money, and it's a ramp to the future.
Is it enough? I mean, we read that they put $40 million or something like that into this new paywall itself. It's going to drive some readers away, presumably. They may be less in the flow of articles that are, tweeted all around, though they say you can still come straight to them through Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
And maybe some gaps. But do the numbers really add up in the end to a future for the Times and other papers, Ken?
It's not a panacea, and everything tends to get painted that way because the picture is so difficult. But it's a building block. So if they could get to 2% and they can get to $140 million a year, for instance, that's about 25% of what their print circulation money is. So that's a substantial amount of money. The game is going to be lost or won mainly on advertising, and they need to continue, like all newspapers, to really move to mobile, and mobile now largely means tablet. The tablet is the reason why this is now a major possibility. They've wanted to charge, Tom, for years. And go back to Time Select, and everybody's been saying, can we charge? Should we charge? But now the tablet is changing people's perceptions. So while it's been true that people have had this sense of news should be free, now there is a societal move. I call it in news anywhere. You know, you we're used to getting the news in print, desktop, laptop, now smartphone, and now tablet. And so the idea is you're not paying for content as much as you're paying for convenience. I get my news anywhere. I'll pay you, maybe I'll pay you $250 a year. I'll get some print, maybe 7 day, maybe Sunday, but I'll get it wherever I want to get it. And it's the same idea that Netflix and Comcast and HBO are doing with their entertainment products.
It's the idea that has the New York Times fixated today as their paywall goes up. Of course, it is completely unproven yet, and I'm looking down here, Kenneth, responses to us online about, you know, are you willing to pay for news? It's nope, no, nope, 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 right on down. We'll see what happens with the Times. Ken Doctor, please stand by. We're looking at the paywall going up for online news at the New York Times and maybe your local newspaper soon, if not already. Are you ready to pay cash money for online news or not? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the paywall going up for online news at the New York Times and whether it will work for the Times and maybe soon for struggling newspapers right across this country. You can join the conversation this hour. Are you ready to pay for online news? Would you pony up for the Times, for your local newspaper's online offering? Does this look like the future or like desperate newspapers trying to recreate the past? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's New York Times publisher Arthur Sulzberger Jr. explaining to NPR earlier this month the balancing act in that sort of you can use a little and then comes the toll gate of the Times' new paywall.
We did not, any of us, feel that putting up an iron gate, if you will, that cuts you out of the digital ecosystem made any sense at all. So this is about balance.
They won't cut you out of the digital ecosystem, but after you've hit 20 articles a month in the Times, they're going to be asking for you to pay any place from 195 to 400 plus annually, depending on how many ways you want it. Ken Doctor has joined us today from Washington, D.C., media industry analyst for Journalism Lab. His blog is newsonomics.com. Ken, we've got all kinds of response here online now. And, you know, yes, we've got some people saying, yes, maybe, okay, if I need to, if I have to. But a whole lot of people here, I mean, I don't know, on Facebook, Tim says nope. Scotty says no. Jen says, as long as there are options for quality news that's free, I won't pay for it. Of course, we'll talk about how long that quality news for free might last. Here's Kate. She says, it amazes me how people believe they have a right to free news over the Internet. I'm a reporter, she writes. I can't afford to work for free. But Emmanuel says, I don't believe people will pay for anything on the web. And Mark says on Facebook, it's not a matter of will I pay. I can't squeeze another $15 out of my budget. I can't be unique, he writes, Ken. And a lot of people are going to scratch their heads after years and years now of free news here.
Right. Well, they have opportunities, and we'll see. And a lot of this comes down to national news, international news, and local news. So on a local basis, and put the Times aside for a moment, the local press in everybody's hometown is struggling mightily, especially these metro newspapers. They have lost more than the Times and more than your little community newspaper. They have cut back greatly what we all know. I live in the Bay Area, and I know a lot less about what's going on in the Bay Area than I did 5 years ago because there's far fewer reporters. So people, I think, get confused sometimes between the fact that the internet is this wonderful thing that delivers everything to us. It gets us complete access and all the commentary we could want, but it's local reporting that we really have a problem with, and we can't measure what we don't know. So the local papers are really struggling and really trying to make this model work. And then for the New York Times, as you said, it's the newspaper of record in the largest, one of the largest democracies in the world. And so how do we value that is really our question. And they've tried that argument of value it on quality, value it because it's really good. Now they're going to this all-access convenience argument, and that may work well enough with 1-2%, and maybe 3 years from now, this whole idea that everything should be free will have waned a bit.
Maybe. How do we value that? That's the question for the New York Times today as their paywall goes up and for newspapers right around this country. Of course, you know very well there's a big counter-argument that we are the whole age of scarcity of information is gone. We're in the age of superabundance. And that old model just isn't going to work. I'm seeing that, you know, Robert online on Facebook says, only the suckers cough up. We'll see who's a sucker in the end. I don't know. Mid-America guy tweets to us. He says, I might pay for specific resources, but certainly not for casual browsing. It will ultimately fail. Can Dr. please stand by in Washington? Joining us right now from New York is John Payton. He's CEO of the Journal Register Company, big news and information company. More than 300 print and online products, reaches 16 million users a month. He's got 30 years of media executive experience in the U.S. and Canada and Europe. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for asking me, Tom.
You're somebody who's in the business. You know you've got to make a living, and yet you've been skeptical about the Times and other paywall strategies. Why, John?
Because I think it's a dangerous waste of time. Newspapers have less than 10 years in America to change their business models profoundly, or they're going to go out of business. The newspaper business model has to be completely changed, and this doesn't do that, focusing on paywalls, marrying a new idea, as you were saying at the top of the show, to an old model. It basically means for newspapers that focusing on paywalls is an idea that's never going to fail to fail.
Why not? I mean, people want it. If they can only get 20 articles, but they're used to feasting on 40 or 100 or 400 articles a month, and the Times says pay up or no way. Ken Doctor says if you get a couple of percent to do it, it'll be, you know, good times rolling again.
Well, I would dispute the math, and Ken and I usually do on different things.
Okay.
But I would say that considering that newspapers stand on two legs, basically 75% or 70% is advertising and the balance is circulation, having an all-out effort that focuses on the smaller bucket of revenue to convert, let's say, 10% of it or 2% of it or 3% of it seems to me a waste of time when the actual model for how newspapers operate have to be changed. Currently, we do everything to create print, and then we shovel it onto the web and say that we're multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
News isn't created and consumed that way anymore, and any good business has to allocate resources, human and financial, to how the business is actually run. People want their news digital.
So how would or do you or others as a news organizations who don't have a paywall up, it's essentially free online, how do you make the living required to support the reporters to go out in the field and do the work to bring the news home?
Well, I think you can do it. I mean, you do focus by focusing on the actual business model. So the Journal Register Company is a company that was in bankruptcy, you may recall, 13 months ago, and I took it over out of bankruptcy. We've completely changed the business model, so we allocate resources to the creation of news. We haven't fired or laid off a single editorial salesperson in 13 months, but we have got rid of printing and distribution and things like pre-press and post-press, the kind of things that people don't care about. Two-thirds of all newspaper costs, including the New York Times, is in infrastructure. We're attacking the infrastructure costs because the cloud economy lets us do that. It lets us process ads in India and different places at much cheaper price points so that we can keep the newsrooms as big as they are now and hopefully start adding resources back into them.
What about the newspaper, the print newspaper itself? Should the Times boot that, put it all online? Could that work? Ken says maybe they're still trying to drive readers back to the old paper and ink product.
I think it's a. I think that is part of what they're trying to do, and I think it's a mistake. I think that a completely open website, driving as much audience, as much advertising as possible, while attacking their infrastructure costs, gives you the benefit of a growing digital audience, the audience of advertisers' choice. There's now more advertising in digital in America today than there are in newspapers. And so it's important that you create a bigger audience all the time and that you chase those dollars. I know people want to talk about print dollars being turned into digital dimes. That's just a fact of life. And my message to them has been start stacking the dimes.
Of course, Ken Doctor, I mean, a lot of people have made a lot of money on advertising in the digital realm. Look at Google and all the rest, huge valuations and profits there. But it hasn't been newspapers making that money. Maybe they're just not going at the new info age the right way, Ken.
In part, that's certainly true. There's about $25 billion, $28 billion in online advertising. It'll probably be number one ahead of newspapers and broadcast in 2 years. And it's true, newspapers get maybe 10% of that. So that is a problem. There are some of these newspaper companies that are mastering the digital advertising world better. I think the Times is now up to about 24% of its overall ad revenue being digital. And I think John makes really good points overall. I think the revolution that he's brought to Journal Register is an amazing one. And he's right about cost cutting, and yet these are two different worlds, I think. I think that there are a lot of the principles that can and have been applied in part to the Times. They need to be greatly applied. But they're two different worlds in that if we want seasoned, experienced, 25-year reporters to tell us about what's really going on with the nuclear meltdown in Japan, what's going on in North Africa, what's going on with the budget battles in Washington, D.C. and across the U.S., this is signaling different than what you can do in a small suburban or community newspaper. And so I think we have to value it differently. I look forward to the models that John's building, and he's done amazing things, but I think it's two different worlds.
You say we have to value it differently. Of course, in the end, it's consumers and the new technology that may decide whether it gets valued in that way or not. Let's go to our listeners. Ken John, in Antioch, Tennessee. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a longtime reader of the New York Times.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to pay for the service. I just think that the price point they set is very high. Should be less than $100 a year.
Oh, so it's $195 for their cheapest. That's just on your web and phone, and that's too much for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean,
Even though you probably paid that much or more for a paper product, John.
Well, I get The Economist and The New Yorker, and they are both less than that.
Okay, price point too high. Let us hold that one. Thanks for your call. Brian in Bedford, Massachusetts. Brian, you're on the air.
I won't pay for it. A couple of things. One, everybody keeps saying it's free. It's not free. I pay $60 a month for high-speed access, and everywhere I go on the web, I'm getting pop-ups and whatnot. I know I've encountered websites, I think the LA Times and some others, where they give you little teasers, and you read that, and then there's a for more click, and it's a link to a page to pay a subscription service.
Uh-huh.
And I go to Google, do a quick search, and find something that's free. And then I'll save that as a favorite, and I'll go to that source. Once I find a source that I find reliable, I'll just stick with it.
Brian, what about the argument that if that goes on long enough, there aren't going to be seasoned reporters out there bringing you those reliable sources of news?
I think somebody will come up with a different model and figure out, why don't they hire away some people from Google? People that do know how to monetize. I think the newspaper industry as a whole seems to be kind of not set in stone, but set in their ways to a degree and not keeping up with the age. That's why they've gotten into the hole they're in.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. On the other hand, it's hard to assign an algorithm to go into the back roads of Libya and figure out what's going on. But, Brian, I appreciate your call. One more here. Brett in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Brett, you're on the air.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, what do you think?
I get the local paper, the Cedar Rapids Gazette,
yeah.
And I like the hard copy paper.
Mm-hmm.
But with my subscription to the Gazette, I get access to the full edition online. Otherwise, it's a limited edition there. So I really enjoy being able to get the full access. And I pay for the hard copy, too. And I think in terms of national news, I read the New York Times and the Washington Post. And I think there comes a point where I feel like I need to contribute a little bit to that.
So do you feel you're about there? Paywall goes up today. Are you ready to put a $195 annual budget item in your pocket there, Brett?
Well, I think that's a stretch for me because I'm paying $200 a year for my current paper. But, you know, a couple bucks a month I'd be willing to pay.
A couple bucks a month. That would be $24 a year. I'm not sure that's going to make the accountants at the New York Times happy, but it sounds like you've got your local paper in a relationship with you and your wallet that may be working for them right now. Brett, I appreciate your call. We're talking with John Payton and Ken Doctor about the New York Times paywall going up today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Ken, John, stand by. Joining us right now from New York is David Carr. He writes the Media Equation column for the New York Times, blogs for the New York Times Media Decoder. David Carr, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Oh, a pleasure to be with you, Tom.
So what's the mood in Times country these days with this paywall going up? Has everybody got their fingers crossed? Please, please, Lord?
Yeah, I would say we're on pins and needles a little bit. It's been coming for such a long time, and people like Ken and John have been weighing in, some with more certainty than they do. I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going to happen, and that includes the people in the room as well. I mean, I'd have to add two caveats. One, it's how I eat. It's how I get hamburgers.
Yep.
So, of course, I root it on. And two is, I don't have any special insights into what the leadership is thinking. They listen very carefully to me and then generally go the other way.
Well, but you have stood up for the paywall, David, and said, we've got to do this. But, you know, there's this whole huge cosmos of sort of, you know, the hip digerati who look at it the other way and they say this is
old. Is the cosmos that huge, Tom?
Yeah, right. Okay, it's the three guys who talk about it nonstop. But, I mean, I'm looking at Jeff Jarvis here. He says you put up a paywall. You know, you've got the expense then of marketing. It reduces your audience. It reduces your advertising revenue. It reduces links and clicks.
All due respect to Jeff. He's been advising the newspaper industry for 20 years on a variety of digital matters, and none of it has worked.
Well, is that because it's bad advice?
That's why I feel strongly about it. It isn't about the specifics. And I hear both your listeners and experts arguing about price, arguing about frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all really a worthy discussion. And I think it can be debated about the specific implication. But in terms of macroeconomics, in the general interest national newspaper business, if we do not get more revenues out of the consumer side on the web, we will be forced to reduce a reporting footprint going forward. And so to me, that's, is this a perfect solution? We will see. Is it worth giving it a whirl? I think absolutely. One of your callers talked about we're stuck in the mud, we don't innovate. This is an innovation, one of many, I think, that the Times has done on the web. And like everything on the web, it will be implemented and reiterated till it works. But at bottom, I think it's an important thing to be doing.
You know, David, you ask, is the cosmos that big of people who look at it otherwise? And my first reaction was to kind of nod along with you and agree. On the other hand, the digital realm is populated with billions now of people, and they're really the cosmos. It's their collective decision that ultimately is going to decide, I guess, what gets paid for and what doesn't.
Yeah, we're talking about two things. One is the sort of thunderdome of pundits, who many of whom have a reflexive reaction against charging for any content on the web. I would agree with you that the court of public opinion is measured in the billions. And yes, there is a great deal of skepticism out there. The cool thing for us is 85% of the people who visit us will notice nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And within that group of 15% of who do bump into the wall, as Ken and others have pointed out, a certain number are going to make the decision to pay a convenience and access charge for what is more of a fence than a wall.
And what do you say to the people? We're going to talk with one in a couple of minutes who are already building ladders over and around this wall, David, you know, hacking the wall.
Well, my experience has been, I analogize music. Music is free for the taking as long as you're willing to do certain things. I don't want a workaround. I want to compensate the artists who did it. They have a price point that, iTunes is a price point that I agree with. And those who want to spend time and effort, I pay for both the FT and the Wall Street Journal. I could game those walls.
We'll see what happens here. David Carr with the New York Times, thank you so much for being with us. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about the paywall going up for the online news at the New York Times and whether it will work for the Times and struggling newspapers right across this country, maybe the newspaper in your town. You can join the conversation this hour. Do you now just expect your news to be free? Will you get it where it is free, whatever the newspapers do? If we want top-flight news reporting, are we going to have to pay for it, or does the web make up in volume what papers like The Times have brought us in quality somehow? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. We've been joined this hour by Ken Doctor. He blogs at newsonomics.com. He's an industry analyst for the Neiman Journalism Lab. John Payton is with us. He's CEO of the Journal Register Company, not in the paywall camp, and has been making many steps with his many online and print properties to go in a different direction. We're going to hear in a moment from a Canadian who has already created a kind of workaround that will get you the Times for free without paying what they want online. Times has been rolling this out 2 p.m. Eastern today at the Newspaper Association of American Convention in Dallas. This morning, New York Times Senior Vice President for Digital Operations, Martin Nissenholtz, spoke about the strategies the newspapers need to embrace to thrive, he said, in the digital future.
We're really entering a new era. This isn't just about digital subscriptions. It's about the whole idea of managing one's content in a much more forceful way on the web than many of us have done in the past.
Now, that's interesting. Ken Doctor, managing in a much more forceful way on the web. That sounds a bit like, you know, when the music industry and the movie industry have tried to push back very hard. They went after LimeWire back in the day.
Right.
To flex their muscle and say, no way, Jose, you're going to pay. We're going to change the sort of power equation here. How long until we know, Ken, whether the Times, which everybody will now be watching, is going to succeed in that arm wrestling with, what, in a way, the whole digital world?
I think we'll know within 6 months or a year. And I think we'll look at it both in terms of what is that percentage? Do they get to that 1% and take in $70 million? Or, you know, do the Sunday subscriptions go up, or do they stabilize? They've been going down.
Because so if you get that, you get the digital package with it.
Yeah, and if they can do that, and that's the 40% of their revenue every week just comes on Sunday. So there are a lot of pieces here, and I've talked about it like it's a billiards ball to table. You know, you're breaking the balls here, and that's part of what Nissenholtz is talking about. It would be nice if they had a sense of control. Everybody likes a sense of control, especially journalists, I think. They don't have the sense of control, but they're breaking the balls. They're seeing what's going to happen. And I think, you know, one of the comments, Tom, in the last segment about, you know, I'm paying broadband, you know, already paying $60 for broadband.
Right.
It seems to me, and I pay more than that. I do the triple play, right? Comcast, we all get the triple plays from the cable companies. We're paying them $100-$150 a month. They're not creating news. I don't want Comcast to tell me what the national news is, even though they're becoming a content company and they own NBC. I want people who have journalistic training, who are steeped in the principles of the trade of trying to be fair and trying to be accurate, to give me the news. And I think this is hugely important, especially to a public radio audience, where public radio people, it's the same thing. You don't have to pay, but look at the millions of people who pay public radio because they say, the news I get on commercial radio, it's not very good. I want better news.
It's a very interesting question whether the Times can kind of lead the charge to bring that dynamic to its print realm, breaking the balls indeed here. John Payton, first on the math, you said you weren't sure you agreed with Ken Doctor. He says 1%, if they can get 1% to come and pay for online content, you know, it's a win. Do you agree on that front, John?
Well, if they could do that, I would, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's a bit like that Melody Gardot lyric, "Make me promises you can't keep." I mean, right now the bar is set at 85%. Just about everybody can limbo under it. You know what's going to happen. They're not going to make enough money on the 15%, so they're going to start lowering the bar and lowering the bar and lowering the bar, and then they will affect traffic. They have,
I mean,
to
lowering the bar means, what does that mean? Lowering the cost of digital access or something?
No,
else?
Those that they would allow to access the site for free.
I mean,
currently their metrics, they decided, have meant that about 85% of all users will not be affected. You heard David Carr mention that as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is something they're hanging their hat on. So now they're trying to monetize some portion of the 15%. That's not going to be enough money, and because they're focusing on this, they're going to lower that bar, so try to capture more people who can't limbo under it. And so I'm disturbed by this, because this isn't going to save a single journalism job at the New York Times. If they were to concentrate on the things they do very well, new products like the iPad apps and iPhone apps, and do charge for those because they are different products, they add different things to it. That, I think, is important. The idea that you're going to make the money off the paywall itself, and I think Ken would agree with this, is just not a good idea.
Chev says, on our website, I read the Times online and my iPhone every day, probably 5 to 10 articles every day. I will not be paying this fee, he says. The price is just too high. Mary Ann says, the news has value. People need to pay for it, period. Paul says, I think the Times is going in the right direction, but have made a serious mistake in their pricing. Judy in Waitsfield, Vermont. Judy, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Tom. Thank
Hi.
You.
Yeah.
I value the work of good reporters, and I'm willing to pay for it.
Bless you.
I'm not the wealthy, but I pay for that, and public radio.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe the number of people who don't want to pay for it. I've had a computer since PCs first came out, I think around 1982. I don't spend a lot of time sitting there, and I do not want to read and spend a lot of time at a tiny gadget. I believe.
But, Judy, you know that means that you're old-fashioned. Ooh, and I say it with respect and love, but you know that's what it means.
I have small gadgets.
Okay.
I mean,
people are gadgeting them, you know, like crazy all over the world for many hours, you know.
I know. No, thank you. But the thing that bothers me, I guess more than anything, is that I believe that the incoming generation is going to be a lot less informed. If you pay for a newspaper and you open it up, you're exposed to a lot of different things. And even if you only read the headlines, maybe a few lines, there's a lot of things in there that if you aim for one specific thing on an iPad or on a computer,
yep,
you're not going to see all the rest, which keeps you more informed.
No, I know exactly what you mean. There's that ideal of that really well-rounded, informed citizen, and it has always felt very important to this country. On the other hand, technology changes behavior. Judy, I appreciate your call. Let me get one more. Mark in Quebec. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the air up in Canada.
Hi. Just wanted to mention that it's interesting because we're in Canada normally off the radar with the Times and other magazines, but we happen to be the guinea pigs for this firewall starting last week.
Yes, right. They started early in Canada. So what do you think?
Exactly. I don't mind paying for content, but I'm not able or willing to pay almost a full newspaper subscription price to look on a few articles per day.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a rural area. I don't have access to the Times. I can't buy it on the weekend. I don't have that access possibility. I would be willing to contribute, just like I do, to Vermont Public Radio on a monthly basis, no problem. But I find the amount they're requesting is $200 a year is extravagant and too much for me.
So what will you do? Will you just do without or what, Mark?
Well, I'll use my 20 views a month. And then I'll use Google News to get back to the articles that I like, columnists like Krugman and others that I like to read.
And we should point out, Mark, I appreciate your call, but in the new Times policy, if you come to it from Google News, you get direct access. If you come to it through a link on Facebook or Twitter, you get direct access. In fact, somebody has already put up a kind of Twitter service. Well, they will tweet you the whole Times every day. The Times wrestling with them now about whether they can use the Times logo on that or not. But that's not the most aggressive attack on the new Times pay wall. The most aggressive attack may also have come out of Canada. A gentleman named David Hayes is the creator of NY Times Clean. It's a tool, a hack, designed to get around the Times paywall. It's at his blog, yuri.ca. He's a web developer. Says it took him 20 minutes and four lines of code to get past the Times paywall, which has already gone up a week, 10 days ago in Canada. He joins us now from Guelph, Ontario. David Hayes, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
So was it difficult to hack your way through the software around the Times paywall?
I think Ken was very right when he talked about it being a very porous wall. That the actual technical implementation is that after it displays the page, it checks to see if you've visited 20 pages this month.
Yep.
And if so, it asks your browser, please hide the content you were looking for and
right.
display the subscription ad. And my button that you drag onto the toolbar just reverses that process.
So it's just a little app I drag onto my toolbar, and what, every time I go to the Times, I click it and I can go right through the paywall?
Yes.
Do I have to click it every time, or does it just sit on my browser and do it for me?
Unfortunately, you have to click it on every article.
So I'm sure people are going to use this. What's your philosophy in putting it out there, David? Are you opposed to the New York Times making more money?
Well, I know that I sound as basically I come across as the bad guy in this scenario, but it's really just a case of anytime you put up a fence, there's going to be someone. In this case, it's me who tries to get around it, and they've been changing the how the page is actually hidden,
mm-hmm.
and they will probably continue to do that. And at some point, they're going to wear me out, and I'm going to stop updating my button. But there's going to be somebody with less. More to prove and less to do otherwise, who's probably going to keep finding ways around it.
But you must be making some kind of statement in principle here. I mean, you didn't just make this for yourself. You made it for the world.
I'm just excited to be part of the discussion. You talked earlier about how newspapers had a 30% or a 35% margin at some point. And I know that they're trying to protect that market as if it's the natural state that newspapers forever...
But to be clear, that's long gone now. It was that deep gravy. It's way down in single digits for most now.
Lots of models for profitable news gathering organizations. The Atlantic Monthly is now profitable. There's WikiLeaks. There's the BBC and like you said, NPR. And we are going to settle on some method of generating news profitably.
David, may I just ask you, has the Times called you? Has, I don't know, Arthur Sulzberger Jr. called you up and said, hey, you know, Dave, cut us some slack here?
I would love to receive that call, but no.
Okay, David Hayes, who has put up NY Times Clean, a tool designed to get around the Times paywall. It's already been at work in Canada, and I'm sure a lot of people will put it at work outside Canada today. David Hayes, thank you very much for joining us from Ontario. We're talking with Ken Doctor and John Payton about the new paywall. We'll come to your calls as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Great. So, Ken Doctor, there's the Times' worst nightmare at work already, and not even really on a point of principle, just to be part of the great community of digital sharing. That David Hayes is just sharing this tool to vault right over the wall, Ken.
I just wish he would put his good talents to better use. I mean, it's an interesting cat and mouse game, but there are more important things. And he made the point that, you know, other companies, NPR, BBC, have found business models. Well, BBC is embattled with its license fee, which, you know, the Brits pay for television licenses. And NPR, as we know, is embattled in the U.S. Congress. These are not even as stable as they used to be. And of course, the problem is that, and I've criticized the newspaper industry a lot more than they'd like. By the time models are found, we're not sure how much news is going to be left. That's the big problem at this point.
Let's go to Barnett, Vermont, and Sal. Hi, Sal. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm just wondering, you talk about this as if it's brand new. But the Wall Street Journal has been doing this for a long time. I'm looking at their mm-hmm. website right now. It's $2.99 per week
yep.
for the normal, and then with all the other mobile readers and tablets, it's $3.99 a week.
So that's around the Times scale.
What they're doing?
Okay, it's a good question, John Payton. Wall Street Journal has indeed had its own paywall for some time now, and seems to have been fairly effective with it. What do you say to Sal's question?
Well, I think there's two things about that. First off, all baked in, the New York Times fees are around $455 a year, which is substantially more than the Wall Street Journal fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with David Carr earlier. You know, arguing about fees is just about figuring out the market, if this is going to work at all. I think the difference is this. As exceptional as the New York Times is, and it is exceptional, it's probably the best brand for general news in the English language, the Wall Street Journal is a very different thing. It's a financial newspaper in the main. It has extremely deep silos of information that's of value to investors in the investing community, those who are interested in finance and economics. And for that small group, and as big as it is, it's not a huge group considering worldwide, then you need to think about how those kind of people would retrieve information, not unlike the Thomson Reuters offerings, where people will pay to subscribe to very deep silos of information. That's what's happening with the Wall Street Journal.
You know, Ken, Jeff Jarvis is you heard David Carr's kind of allergic reaction to him there, but, you know, we have a very profound technology shift that we're still in the middle of. We don't know how it's going to work out. Jarvis argues, you know, that the whole idea of professional journalists may be passe, that this is now what neighbors do for each other, posting information online and sharing their perceptions of the world. What about that view, Ken, that, hey, you know, it's just there's a whole new dynamic here.
And the problem with the view is that it's an or rather than an and, that we need both. I mean, it is wonderful to get, and I'm a creature of the web. I use user-generated reviews. I use my local patch site and other user-generated stuff.
Yeah.
But it's an and. It's not a replacement. You cannot replace what the New York Times does or the Wall Street Journal or the Financial Times or the Associated Press. So it's not religion, and it is early in this. I think John's pointed out, you know, this is a marketing question to some degree. If you run through the rates on the Journal and the Times, the Journal's really about half the cost right now of the Times. And the same thing is true in print. This is also part of that larger battle between Rupert Murdoch and News Corp and the New York Times and trying to put the New York Times out of business. So the New York Times is trying to do less discounting, both in print and with its new online program. It seems to me that there will be, and I know there are coming, and I don't know what they're going to be, but there's going to be introductory offers of the Times. It wants to test out this high pricing because if it can get it, great, it's going to make a lot of money. But we might see a $99 a year, you know, package with your shiny new iPad 2 coming as well, especially if this pricing doesn't stick.
John, we just got 20 seconds. You think you might eat your words in 6 months and jump in behind the time, put up your own paywalls all over the place?
I would hope to as a publisher, but I'm not going to have to.
Beyond paywalls already, just as the Times is putting theirs up. John Payton, CEO of the Journal Register Company, joining us today from New York. John, thank you very much for your insights today.
Thank you for having me.
Ken Doctor, it's great to talk with you. Thank you for joining us today, Ken. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Ken Doctor, find his blog at newsonomics.com in the Nieman Journalism Lab. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.